And you're very welcome back to the programme. 086 1800 964 is the text number on the programme. That for the competition as well. We asked you a question earlier. We asked you where the All-Ireland Flam will be held in 2017, next year in fact. I think you have a fair idea of where it's going to be. 086 1800 964. We have that daily pass to give away. Another one to give away tomorrow, indeed on Friday as well. A daily pass for the Fun at the Flam event at Bunratty Folk Park. And that takes place during the course of the FLA in Ennis as well. It's every day at 2:30. Everybody welcome along. If you have your own instrument, bring it along for the session at 2:30, or just sit back and enjoy it. Once again, where will the All-Ireland FLA be held in 2017? 086 1800 964 is the text number. Now, County Clare certainly enjoys an international reputation as a storehouse of Irish traditional music. But what were the events that shaped our unique soundscape? Tomorrow, renowned Professor Garóda Holleran from Ennis will host a lecture that will shed light on the debt that Clare music making owes to a great many factors. Professor Garóda Holleran joins me in studio. Garóda, you're very welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Pat. It's wonderful to be here, and it's wonderful to be home, so to speak.
I just said it, the man. You're from Ennis. You're in Quebec these days.
We're in Quebec, in Montreal. I'm based in Concordia University, which has the largest school of Irish studies in Canada. We have over 1,000 students studying Irish studies with us in Concordia, and they work on a very large spectrum of courses, which include history, music, literature, Irish language, theatre, diaspora studies, and all kinds of Irish heritage programmes related to the Irish experience in Canada and in Quebec. What's interesting about our programme, Pat, is it's a trilingual programme. We teach courses in the Irish language. We also teach courses through the medium of French as well as English. So in that sense, I think we have a very unique programme which allows us to develop relationships with the Franco-Canadian community as well as the Anglophone community in Quebec. But we also have hundreds of students who have no ethnic connection at all to Ireland, who are fascinated with Ireland, and many of those former students and people that have truly no ethnic or familial connection to Ireland will be here in County Clare to experience Flakill na hÉireann this week. And I think that's the beauty of Irish culture, going overseas and attracting people who have really a very broad multicultural interest in Ireland.
Are you home for the whole event? I know that you have your own book launch and your own very special lecture, but you're here for the FLA as well?
We're here for the full nine yards, Pat. There's no point in coming to Clare unless we can enjoy the experience in every sense, both in the musical sense, but I think also in the sense of coming back to rediscover place. I think you need a full musical experience right throughout the week of the FLA, but also the week before the FLA, where people are arriving and we're making connections again. And then, of course, I think quite frequently with all FLAs, the most interesting part, in a sense, is the aftermath.
Yes.
Because people will hang around for the final fling, and we'll be here for the final fling as well.
Have you brought your instruments? I know that you've... Take this off, if you prefer. Have you brought your own instruments? I know that you have won a few titles in your time. Is it the box, or was it...
Well, I always refer to my youth, I suppose, in Ennis, learning music with Sean Reid and with Frank Custy. I started out learning music at home in the Turnpike with my grandmother, and she was a concertina player from Kilmaley, and we had music always in the house as children growing up, and my parents were interested in singing. And my family are very active in the singing world, as you know.
Your sister Mary, I know, yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And when we were children, we went to Tuna to learn music with Frank Custy. And that was a major life-changing event for us. And subsequently, I went to Flannans and was part of the St. Flannans College Cayley Band. We had great fun and rivalry against our neighbours, the St. Michael's Villas Cayley Band, with Kieran Hanrahan and Paul Roach.
Yes.
And later, I took up the pipes and spent many wonderful, wonderful evenings with Sean Reid out on the Gort Road, and he was a major influence, a similar influence, really, in all our lives. And then when I was in Cork, I decided to take up the concertina, to go back to my grandmother's instrument. So that has been my main instrument since. But I'm delighted to say I have a Maloney set of pipes in Montreal that have survived the Canadian winter. and are still sounding well. And so we've kept the piping tradition as well as the concertina tradition of Clare alive in Canada.
It would have been difficult, I presume, to bring the pipe. So you brought the concertina, I presume.
I brought the concertina, Pat, because there is a regulation about travelling with Éireann pipes because they have ivory, and ivory now is a
protected species,
and we have to have special permission even to cross the border between Canada and the United States in case, you know, the ivory shows up on the radar, so to speak, and we're accused of taking the life of some innocent elephant.
Yes, of course. Even though it is, in fairness, all in all innocence, you'll be transporting it. The two big events from your own perspective on a personal level this week, the lecture, first of all, tell me what that's going to be about.
Well, Pat, Ireland, as you know, has been very, very busy celebrating and remembering and commemorating the rising of 1916 for the last, 7 months, and it will go on until the end of the year. My contribution to that commemoration, in a sense, is to look at the soundscape of Clare. In other words, what was happening in the music, song and dance of County Clare during that age of rebellion? Because we tend to commemorate all political events, I suppose, through the lens of political sources. We're naturally enough inclined to look at important documents like the Proclamation of 1916. We read the eyewitness accounts of the rising. And we're very much aware of the political and the social consequences of rebellion. My lens is slightly different in the sense that I'm interested in the cultural consequences of these broad events that affected not just life in Dublin, but also life down in the west of Ireland, places like Clare, isolated places in rural Clare, and how communities of music makers, singers, dancers, poets, local poets, Gaelic poets, which we had in Clare in the early 1900s, all responded to this time of incredible change when, as we know, the British Empire eventually left Ireland, and Ireland settled down to become an independent state, a fledgling independent state. And I think all of these events are remembered in the music, song and dance and folklore and folk poetry of the period. And that's primarily the focus of my book, which has just been released by Oxford University Press in the United States, and has just been released in Europe. It was released in the United States last month and will be released in Europe next week, just in time for the Fla. So we're very excited to be
here. Everything has been pretty timely for you. I think you've worked this out very, very well. But going back to the rising, going back to the Civil War, going back to all the, how will I put this very delicately, all the pressure we were put under by Britain at the time, was there more of a pressure on the Irish then to record all that, whether it be music or song or poetry? And we did it with such fervour, didn't we? There's a huge wealth of music and poetry from that period.
We certainly did, Pat. And I think when we look at the various layers of revolution that took place in Ireland, I mean, it wasn't just a political revolution. There was a long lead up to rebellion in 1916. Remember, the GAA was founded in the 1880s. That was a great mobilisation force. It really burrowed its way into the grassroots of Irish society. So people were very aware of their sporting traditions. The same can be said about the Gaelic League and the urgency to record and publish literature in Irish, but also to record the folk poets and to make sure that what was left. I mean, we frequently forget that in County Clare, a third of the county was Gaelic speaking, was Irish speaking in 1900. When we consider, for example, some of the older musicians in County Clare, people like Chris Troney, for example, his father was a native Irish speaker. Virtually all of West Clare, rural West Clare in 1900, was Irish speaking. So the Gaelic League was an extremely important force in mobilising a local identity in these small communities all over the west of Ireland, and indeed in other parts of Ireland as well. So that movement towards a revolution, in a sense, was happening on the ground at least 2 to 3 decades before 1916. So I think when we put the urban currents alongside these other grassroots movements, like, for example, the takeoff of the Irish literary movement and the founding of the Abbey Theatre and what was happening in journalism, people like D.P. Moran mobilising a sense of Irish Irelandism. And I think all of that happening at a time when the British Empire ruled over 400 million people, it was in all corners of the globe. I think it's quite a remarkable statement of historical consequence, in a sense, which subsequently inspired other people throughout the world. We think particularly of people like Mahatma Gandhi in India, who was very much inspired by the events of political revolution and cultural revolution in Ireland that truly played out throughout the 20th century. So it was an exciting time, not just a local time, but a global time as well.
Do you remember 1977 in Ennis?
Indeed I do.
It took us a long time to get the FLA back.
It did indeed. And I think, when we think about the interval of time between the mid-70s and 2016, it does speak to a wonderful process of globalisation for cultus and for Irish traditional music. You know, I think I've made the point in other interviews, Pat, that when we're living in Ireland, we tend to have a very inward view of ourselves. But I left Ireland 35 years ago, and I've travelled throughout the world since. I've lived in France, I've lived all over North America on both coasts, and now I find myself living in a Francophone world where, you know, our world is a bilingual world. It's a Francophone world. It's an Allophone world where we're experiencing refugees and immigrants from all over the world. And I think every time I sit down to play Irish music, I know that in a sense I'm bringing a piece of Clare with me, but I'm also having a global experience. And, you know, the question between 1976, 1977 and 2016, that was a time of wonderful globalisation. We are a global community, whether we like it
indeed,
or not.
Indeed. Remind us once again, so the lecture in God, Crown and Country, Clare, Soundscape and the Age of Rebellion, that's the Old Ground tomorrow night.
That's the Old Ground tomorrow night, Pat, and that has been hosted by the County Clare 1916 Commemoration Group, and I want to thank them especially for the invitation, and particularly Mags O'Connor, who has been fantastic in terms of the logistical organisation that has gone into this commemoration, and particularly the series of lectures which they've organised throughout the year. Even though I've been away from Ireland for the last 35 years, I'm very aware of all of the energy that goes into these kinds of events, and particularly the young scholarship that has happened and that continues to happen in County Clare in the last 5 to 6 and maybe 10 years in many cases. I'm very honoured to be part of the new generation of Clare historians, people like Thomas Machalmara, Kieran O'Murachu, Padraig Og O'Rourke. They have been doing wonderful work here in Clare, which we're very much aware of in North America. And in a sense, they're inspiring us to continue to raise the Irish flag and the Clare flag and the Irish cultural flag on the other side of the Atlantic. So we're delighted to be here
for
that
event. Enjoy your event in the Old Ground tomorrow night. Enjoy the flan. We might catch up with you at some stage during the week as well. And thank you very much for coming in. It's great to have you here. Professor Gráodach Halloran, who's now based in Quebec and originally from Ennis. Thank you indeed.
Gourmet Mahagath.
The Fáilte.
Clare FM's Morning Focus. The voice of the Banner County.